We're going to go ahead and continue our post-race media availabilities for the 32nd annual Blue Green Vacations 500. We're joined now by our race-winning owner and crew chief, Coach Joe Gibbs and Chris Gabehart. Before we go to questions, though, I do want to mention that Toyota did clinch the Manufacturers' Championship in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series today. And before I open up to the media, Coach, you've been around clutch performers your entire career. You guys came in here not in a must-win, but pretty close to it, 20 points down. How would you rate Denny and the 11 teams' performance today?
I think Chris and Denny, it just we went 37 weekends. You race short track, road racing, intermediates, all the things that you got to do. And then it comes down to having come to a place like Phoenix and say that you have to win. And that is so hard in our sport. It's a very you're racing the best people in the world. And so I couldn't be happier for Coy, myself, JD. I called Melissa, JD's wife, and Pat, my wife, and said, JD's going to get to go to Homestead. He's going to be on that car. I really think he's been a part of this whole year for us in the 11 team. I was emotional today and still am. I can't thank everybody enough. It's a thrill for me to be a part of this, and it was just an awesome day for us.
We'll go ahead and open it up to media. If you'll raise your hand, we'll get a mic to you. We'll start with Wolfgang, then come to Jeff, and then here.
I have two again, two questions.
Go ahead, Wolfgang.
First of all, congratulations for you both. One question to Mr. Gabehart, one for Mr. Gibbs. Chris, you called in Denny, I think, at the last caution to get two new tires. In case the caution had not come up, could he, in principle, had carry on with the existing tires, with the old tires?
Yeah, no, we had no issue. I was definitely not wanting to see that last caution. I would have been great with a nice, boring walk-off home run, but it did not turn out that way and forced to make a really tough decision. And, again, I've done it several times now. We have to come up with a different play, but winners want the ball. And Denny Hamlin was the winner. So I'm going to give him a front row restart and let him get it done. And he did it again.
Okay. And one question to Mr. Gibbs. You have now three cars until your final round in Homestead next weekend. Will you sit down with the drivers before the weekend and discuss driver discipline?
Yeah, we basically what's going to happen is we work together. What I love about our sport is we work together at the race shop, try and prepare things, solve problems. And when we get to the racetrack, it'll be three cars going for it. When you think about this, three drivers won a championship. Their sponsors mean so much to us, each one of them. And it's a separate story, each one of those. And I think it'll be an all-out effort. You got Harvick in the middle of it. And I think it'll be a great weekend. But I do love that aspect of our sport, which is totally different. You know, I was in football. That's one team. You're trying to win with one team. This is four teams. And then when you get to the racetrack, it's four teams competing against each other. So I love that aspect of it, and I'm thrilled to be a part of it.
We'll go up front here to Jeff.
For both of you, I'm just curious how you see this week going. I mean, will it totally be just business as usual? Will you treat information sharing, everything all the same? Do you think the drivers will have any tension or anything? How will you manage that, and how will that all go?
Obviously, this is the first time something like this has happened. I would say that there will be some separation this week. Guys will be making preparation. The crew chiefs in particular, we all meet, and we'll meet tomorrow. But I would say that that will be different. But I think in our preparation and everything, there will be some division this week. And I would say at the racetrack, obviously, it's going to be, our three teams going for it as hard as they can, each one of them. And I think if you think about that, the drivers, how important that is. Denny obviously has not won a championship. And so you can imagine how hard he's going to go for it. Chris is running the show there, has done a fantastic job this year with him. And so you can imagine Denny's situation. Then you got Kyle, would love to have it, is going to go after it as hard as he can. And for him today to be able to finish second, you know, and have all the pressure of during the race with Joey and everything. And then Martin. So it's a thrill for us to be a part of this. This is going to be a kind of a wild week. And I think it'll be an unbelievable race. I think our fans will enjoy it. I think you got four heavyweights in there. And everybody has a reason to want to win it. And like I said, I just hope everybody will go to JD's website, jdgibbslegacy.com. And it's been a thrill for us this year and our family.
I'll be brief. We won't change a thing. It's been 35 point races that's got us to this point. I keep singing it. It's process and procedure that's got us here. I'd be a fool to change anything. We will change nothing.
All right, we're going to go right up front. Then we're going to go over to Jenna, Nate, and Jerry.
Justin Schuler, Speedway Media. First off, Coach, congratulations on getting three cars into the playoffs. And Chris, congrats on the win today. But Chris, when Elliott wrecked, did that change any kind of game plan at all or any mentality? Obviously, it was a battle between Kyle Busch and Logano being so close in points. But it was also a battle potentially going into today between you and Elliott, who appeared to be two of the faster guys. And obviously, that showed off in the first half of the race. Did that change anything at all?
No, other than, you know, Chase Elliott and that race team, such fierce competitors, you've always got to keep an eye on them. Doesn't matter the scenario. But honestly, I knew pretty early on, and certainly after the first adjustment, that we had a car capable of winning the race. And then it's just a matter of executing. You hone right in on your scenario, your game plan, what it's going to take to get it done, execute whatever play you got to come up with next. Those are great days. I mean, those are the days you want to have, you know, when you kind of control your own destiny. And I knew pretty early on there we were going to be as in control in it as possible. And fortunately, it all worked out.
We'll go to Jenna, then Nate, then Jerry.
Hey, Chris, Jennifer, AP. Denny's had two different mindsets going on this week. He said the it's not over thing, and he also has had, well, you know, Mark Martin, if we don't win, you know, if we don't make it, I'm not going to be disappointed. I understand that you did not like that comment from Denny. Can you talk us through that?
How do you understand that?
Because Marty said it live in the race, yeah.
Oh, okay. National TV, gotcha.
Yeah.
Thanks, Marty.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
So
I guess I'm rookie to all this. I have to say off the record in the future.
You do.
Okay,
you do.
Gotcha.
But I would like this on the record. So what you thought about Denny's two different kind of visions for this week.
I think Denny is pure class, and him recognizing Mark Martin and Mark Martin's success in this sport, and how he would be completely content with his career in a similar situation is the answer I would expect from him, because he is a champion, and regardless of whether we go win next week, he showed everybody why today. But that's not my job. My job is to be the leader of this race team, and every one of my players needs different motivation. And from me, Denny gets constant pushing. And I don't expect him to share what was said between the two of us, but I told him that a week from now, we're going to put that to rest. And if we don't, it doesn't matter. Because, again, to me, he proved what a champion he is this weekend. And next week is a free roll for us. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to it.
Let's go right here in the middle to Nate, then Jerry, then Pat.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. For Joe, so the final restart, you've got the leader on two tires. You've got a team car in third on four tires and ends up finishing second. I mean, and if he finishes ahead of the 11, the 11's out. So how'd that feel?
Believe me, that was a serious heartache.
You were questioning me quite a bit, weren't you?
I went to my knees on that one because I knew exactly. I saw all of a sudden Chris took two. And then Kyle sitting there with four, I said, "This could be a mess." And matter of fact, early in the race, you probably heard Denny go to Chris, "Hey, I apologize for my restarts or something like that. You know, I just haven't been able to get it done." And so anything could have happened. And if you think back to Homestead in the past, it has happened to us. And I was afraid of that would play out. So that went through my mind. I don't think I'll ever forget that, Carl, and everything that happened at Homestead that time. And that's the reason why our sport is so hard. And to go through this, you know, the current way that we have it set up, these little three-race playoffs, you got to really go through a lot to get here. I think everybody right now is kind of exhausted. But we'll go home, rest up, and get after it. Well, had the 18, you know, if he had won that, obviously that would've been great for Kyle, but it wouldn't have been as good for the race team. And I think Kyle went after that as hard as he could. And, you know, I think he got out of the car and said, you know, I had four. I think he was upset with everything that happened. But, you know, if you would just say it worked out the best for the race team, yes.
We'll go to Jerry, then Pat, then Bob.
Jerry Jordan kicking the tires on that. So you're saying there were no team orders?
Believe me, it wouldn't do any good if I had team orders with this crew. If you tell these guys at the end to win a race or don't, back off. I don't think that's going to work. You've seen us in the past run over each other. So I think we got a history there, a pretty good history. Now, I appreciate, like I said, each one of these guys has their own career. They got their own sponsor. And it means so much to them and everybody that pulls for them. And they got the crew chiefs and the teams. It's just, you know, that's the only way to go after it in this sport. And I think our guys do that.
Chris, for you, did you get a pit in your stomach when you saw Blaney take two?
No. That sealed it for me. We had enough of a lead coming down pit road that I was afforded, and where we were on pit road, I was afforded the luxury of paying attention to what six people were going to decide to do, to try to, in those milliseconds, determine what the starting lineup's going to be based on my choice. So I told my guys right up to the last second that I could change it from right sides. And I wish it didn't happen the way it did, but what you caught was a live version of second-guessing yourself when I come on the radio and said four and then said go. That's big time sports, man. This is not easy. These decisions are hard. And what happened there was I knew Kyle was taking four in my ear. I knew the 19 was taking four. I thought the 12 was taking four. I'm watching him. And I couldn't see very well. And all of a sudden they're taking off. And so that's why I called four. And then they're taking off. I'm like, oh no, never mind. No, go four. Not two. Go. You're good. So it was hair-raising for sure, but man, that's why we love it, right? It's a lot more fun when it works out, but if it worked out all the time, it wouldn't be special. So it doesn't work out sometimes, and I love that just as much because it makes these moments even more sweet.
It's funny for me that right there what happened. That reminds me so much of being on the sidelines. I've done that. I've done that 100 times. That's what Chris went through. It is awful to be there in the eye of the hurricane and have to make a call like that.
We're going to go right here in the middle to Pat, then Bob, then to Lee and Michael.
Pat DeCullen, NASCAR.com for Chris. The Gatorade bath, was your laptop in your backpack, and are your Miami notes uploaded to the cloud?
Yeah, I told those guys, I said, that was real wise. You know, I need this computer for one more week. I got a good chuckle out of them. I'm sure it'll be fine. Heck, I don't do anything anyway. I got a bunch of guys underneath of me that get it done. I just kind of point and they march, and I'm super proud of them for that. So it's going to be fun.
Right up front here to Bob.
Bob Packers, Fox Sports. I have a couple for Chris. Shouldn't four tires beat two tires in that – four tires in third beat two tires in first in that situation, or was Denny that much better?
Well, I think over the previous two runs, we had proven we had a really good car. So there's that. Denny's extremely motivated. And then you know, there's the nuance of understanding certain racetracks and tire combinations and how the tracks wear and how the pace fall off degrades. And that's a lot of insider baseball. That's my job. And you train yourself with all that heading into the week. You know what those racetracks are. And you try to let your instinct make those calls, because if you let your emotion make it, it's going to be wrong. So you try to train your instincts throughout the week. I truly believe we needed to have a front row restart there with only three to go to have a shot. And you know, we called the play, and again, we don't do this on the fly. It's either this or this. But the decisions are already made. It's just a matter of which one we're going to point to, and we pointed to that one, and then the ball's in Denny's hands, and it's time to execute. And, again, winners like the ball, and Denny got it done.
And I think you could say that the four best teams are in the final four. What has made these four teams better than the rest?
It's humbling just to be a part of the four, to be honest with you. I think the other three, it's very clear. Rodney and Kevin and Adam and Kyle and Martin and Cole have consistently for years now proven why they are the best. And myself, I'm just a newcomer, was tasked with a job from Coach and everybody at FedEx and Toyota and Denny, and just so thankful that they believed in me and gave me the reins to get it done. You know, at any point in time in this year, with the position that Denny was in, it would have been very easy for him to keep his thumb on me and make sure this rookie doesn't get out of line and, hey, are you thinking about this and do you realize that? I never got any of that out of Denny, not one time. And I think that shows you what a professional he is. He understands that my job is to lead, and if he second-guesses me, that's only going to be bad. It creates doubt and uncertainty. And so he gave me the leash I needed to get going, and quickly we all marched in the right direction. And I'm just glad that yes, I do feel like we've proven ourselves to be one of the four best race teams this year. And for me, Homestead's one race. There's 40 race cars on the racetrack that have a million parts on them that could fail at any time. For us, winning the championship was making it to Homestead. That was the goal. I know Denny will tell you the same. So for us, honestly, Homestead is a free roll. We are looking forward to going out there and racing and letting the best man win, and whatever happens, happens.
We'll go in the middle to Lee and then over to Michael.
Lee Spencer, RacingBoys.com. I know we asked you this at Bristol, same question. You know, what is it about Denny over this season that is different from other seasons? Because, you know, you talk about the maturation of a 38-year-old man, soon to be 39, but this is a different Denny than we've witnessed, you know, probably throughout the course of his career.
Well, I think for sure, if you think about last year, you know, really Denny doesn't win a race. That's why when we got to Homestead, Chris coming on board, I think was huge. But I also think there were other things that happened there, JD and everything that happened with that. And I think it was an emotional thing for everybody, our family, our race team, and everybody. I think that was, I really feel like there was a huge part of it. Appreciate Chris and his leadership. And I think Denny just made up his mind, you know, that he was going to go and change things this year. And if you think about that, how hard that's to do when you don't win a race the year before. I think probably that. I do think there was a lot of emotion. I think JD did find Denny. I think everything that took place up to that race, nobody can deny, you know, I don't think that was by happenstance.
We'll go to the far left to Michael Knight.
Hi, Michael Knight with the Arizona Republic for Joe. Thinking ahead a year and putting your team owner's cap on, you've made many references here in your comments about the sponsors and the drivers each have their own responsibility to their individual sponsors. From both a competition standpoint and as a venue for your corporate CEOs and marketing officers and so forth to come and be involved in NASCAR, what are your comments on Phoenix's the end of 2020 schedule?
Well, one thing I said to Jim France when we were standing out there in the winner's circle, what's been done here, this racetrack, I think is phenomenal. We had a great crowd today, packed. I went up and did hospitalities in those suites. Those suites are awesome, I got to tell you. And so this is a huge deal for our racing series. As you guys know, that NASCAR's made some huge efforts with Jim leading the way to really do and work on a lot of the racetracks and improve things. I think it's huge for our fans. I think they showed up today. I think it was a great venue. And I really appreciate it. I did six hospitalities today, six of our biggest and best sponsors. we're all here. That's a huge deal for us. I'm bullish about our sport. I mean, we've got some of the biggest and the best sponsors on our cars. We've had five of our biggest re-up with us over the last 18 months. I think they don't do that unless they see value. We got social and digital. You guys are a big part of that. We have 38 weekends, a huge number of weeks where we have content and social and digital. Our B2B is really growing each and every week. We got one whole group of our staff that deals with nothing with B2B. And so I am bullish on our sport. I appreciate our sponsors. Toyota has been such a you can imagine when you get companies like that in our sport, what that means to us. And we're thrilled to have our partners that we have. So I'm excited about the future.
We're going to go in the middle to Davey.
Davey Siegel with Front Stretch. Questions for Coach. I saw Ty was watching the end of that race at the 11 pit box. What do you think of his performance last night?
I was thrilled for Ty last night. We didn't pass inspection, so he had to start in the back of the field. And when he got up there about halfway, I was really proud of him. He had about four restarts at the end, and so we're thrilled with Ty. I got seven grand boys and one grand girl. She's horses. I found out that's expensive. But the boys are all in stick and ball. That's much more reasonable. Ty, from the time he was two, wanted to race. And we're thrilled and thrilled to see him get an opportunity. So that's going to be fun.
We'll come right up front here and finish up with Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Chris, I want to ask you about Chris Lambert and the relationship with him and Denny. Obviously, they've been together for a long time. Obviously, the spotter is a key person because they're in the driver's ear. You've come and, like I say, changed the culture, but kind of certainly had your impact on things. What were some of the things that you tried to work with Chris, and how has he been a factor in kind of the molding of Denny in a way? Because obviously, if you don't have the spotter on board, everything becomes a little bit more challenging.
Yeah, that's a good question. Chris has been a real sounding board for me. More so in the beginning. You have to remember, I was an engineer on the team for Denny in 2015, so I have worked with Chris for a year and worked with him for a year on Brandon Jones' side, and with Eric Jones, I've actually worked with Chris a lot. And so as I'm finding my way in this race team and learning how to build this relationship with Denny, Chris was an integral part in helping me understand what would motivate Denny, what wouldn't, how to address him, how to lay the foundation as I go. And then in return, I think what Chris would tell you is, having driven myself never at this level, I'm able to articulate and provide feedback to Chris like maybe he hasn't gotten in a long time, in terms of the things that Denny might want to hear and when he needs to hear them and how concise it needs to be or not. And that can change on any given weekend, any given scenario. Now, Chris is a pro, so he doesn't need a lot of coaching, but I think just me being able to provide a little extra insight as to what the driver might be dealing with in those situations without him having to go to Denny. And, you know, Denny's busy and Chris is busy, and it's just another resource for Chris, I think, to become better at his job. And certainly the three of us together have leaned on one another and believe in each other, and I think it shows on the racetrack. Well, yeah, I mean, it goes back to, like I said before, I firmly believe that in Denny's case, Monday, I'll call it Monday through Thursday, you work very hard to train your instincts. And then after that, you have to let instincts take over. You know, Denny, especially in his job as a driver, he's making 1,000 decisions a football field a second. And if you try to think your way through every one of those, you're going to fail. So it's difficult when the pressure's high. To just go with your gut and, you know, what your instinct says, and then just don't look back. But I just try to provide a little reassurance to him that that's the right thing to do. And again, Chris being the pro that he is, he just sits back and lets that go on because he knows it's right as well.
Coach and Chris, you are free to go. You're welcome to stay, but you're free to go. And we're now joined by our race-winning driver, driver number 11, FedEx Ground Toyota, Denny Hamlin. Denny, congratulations on the win. We're going to go straight to the media for questions, and we'll start with Jerry.
Jerry Jordan, kickingthetires.net. Denny, you came into this race. You said you were 20% odds to win it. Obviously, you beat those 20%. Talk about going into Miami, and technically, I guess, on the schedule, on the odds sheet, you're 25%. But is there any leeway there in those odds?
You know, it's so many different factors that goes into it. I mean, how many times has the fastest car really won the race? I don't know exactly what that number is, but there's just so many elements that can take you out. It was looking like with that last caution, they were trying to find a way to keep me out of there, but it's just, you know, like I say, it's so difficult to win these races. So when you do and you execute the way we did and perform the way that we did, you always feel like you got a fighting chance. And I knew at the end of the race last week that we were going to have a fighting chance. I had all the parts and pieces I needed to go to a Phoenix and win the race. It's just, but it's all the unknowns that you don't know about. So I just made sure I did my job, and Chris worked really hard and did his job. And it's great to have a result like that.
We're going to go up to the press box for one, then we'll come back down to Lee and Jeff. Press box, go ahead.
Chris Knight, GadgetFence.com. Denny, congrats on the win. I was just wondering if your relationship with Chris, what's it like, or Chris Gayharp, what's your relationship like outside of the race shop? What have you guys done to build a relationship this year? Some drivers and team, or some drivers and crew chiefs, have gone and like go fishing or go hanging out, go on vacations or whatever, just to get to know each other. What's your relationship with like him on a personal level?
We don't really hang out much outside the racetrack. We have a professional relationship, but I understand him really well, and I think that his history in short tracks, and my history in short tracks, we speak a lot of the same language. And that allows us to have a great professional relationship. And so I put my full faith in him that when I hit the racetrack, everything is right. And he's got me a race-winning car, and he expects me to drive it to the best of my capability each time I get on the track. So you don't have to have a, you know, extra relationship outside of racing or outside the racetrack to have a good professional one. And that's what we've got right now.
We'll go to Lee, then Jeff.
Lee Spencer, RacingBoys.com. What went through your mind when that caution came out at the very
shit
end?
That was it.
Pretty much says it all. You know, to kind of follow up on what Nider was asking you, what is it about Chris's demeanor? Because he seems to be a bit of a ball buster.
Yeah, I mean, he holds everyone accountable, everybody accountable, from top to bottom. And so I think that he, you know, even though this is his first year, he just, I mean, it's like he's been doing this for a really, really, really long time. And, you know, he has on the crew chief side or the engineering side, he has got quite a bit of experience. But, you know, managing the people is what typically is the challenge of first-year crew chiefs. And I think that that's what he's specialized in. I mean, I know that when my pit crew was struggling early in the year and we were, I think, ranked about 25th or something like that, he says, I'm going to turn this crew into a top three or four pit crew. And by the end of the season, we've gotten really, really, really close to that. So he's just, he's like Joe in the sense of that he gets the most out of his guys, everybody. And so I'm not sure what it is, but he's got some motivation in him for sure. You know, every week he kind of gives me a little speech when I'm strapping in the car, and you know, his confidence in me is unwavering. He says things that otherwise I would just say is, well, you're just pumping me up. you're just making me feel good. But he finds a way to make it relate and make it make you believe it.
We'll go right here to Jeff and then Davey.
I know you think these things through. So what was your mentality on that last restart? I mean, you have two tires. You're starting next to two tires. You've got four tires behind you, but it's a teammate. What were you trying to do? How did you execute that?
So I wanted to choose the top simply because I thought that if I went into turn one side by side, I'd rather be on the high side. I thought that I'd seen Kyle get a pretty good run in the traction stuff on a few restarts, and I saw it in a few restarts in the truck race as well. So I just thought that if I was going to be at a deficit of grip versus my competition, I had the option to go up there and get more. It was going to be a longer distance, but I had the option to go up there and get the grip that they didn't have. And so I think that that was the reason I did it. And luckily it all worked out for sure, especially, you know, I think having the 12 under there with two tires as well, you know, gave me a little buffer there because, you know, if it was Kyle side by side, I'm not sure I would have held him off. But, you know, I would have damn sure tried.
We'll go here in the middle to Davey and then to Dustin.
Davey Siegel with Front Stretch. So coming in, mathematically, it was possible for you to point your way in, but as the race wore on, it became clear that you had to win. And you did that. So what kind of statement do you think that you made here today, if any, in your mind?
Well, I mean, I knew that we had options. I thought, you know, really, even after the first stage, we still had options. But when we finished second to the 22 in the second stage, I knew it was pretty clear. I knew that given the cars that were on the lead lap, where he was running, that it was going to be difficult. And even when he was struggling, he was hanging around 10th or so. That just wasn't going to be enough. We were going to fall, you know, about 6 or 7 points short. So I knew that we needed to win, but I knew right from the drop of the green flag we had the best car. And, you know, it wasn't always up front, but I knew, like, I could just feel little things in that car that was like, that, you know, clean racetrack or this thing gets strung out, we're going to be tough. And so I just was patient. You know, me and Chase had a crazy battle there at the end of stage two where I had to almost kind of check myself and bring myself back down to, you know, what this position really doesn't matter. If the 22 is going to win, it's unlikely that this one position will matter. But really, I just, other than that, I knew that once we, if I could get better restarts, I was going to be able to handle this race.
We'll go to Dustin, then Pat, then Kathy.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. You were in here on Friday, and you kind of were, you know, kind of assessing what the season might be if you didn't make it to the championship. And you know, I guess Chris sent a text kind of to get you to change your thinking. How blunt was that text and the message and how it maybe changed your mindset or that
message?
Well,
I always prepare for both sides, both outcomes. I mean, I mentally put myself in a position where I don't want to go out here and get crushed when we go out here and finish second, have a great day, and we don't make the final four. That's still a pretty damn good day. I mean, it's more on my shoulders. It's my fault that what happened in Texas. So I have to take the load for that. But the biggest thing, you know, he always keeps pushing is that, no, we're here to win. We're not going to settle for anything other than winning. But I'm more of a let's not get too high, let's not get too low. So I always like to put myself in the middle to prepare myself both ways. And so I don't think he does. I think he only prepares to win, and he'll deal with it if he doesn't. Yeah, I mean, definitely. He's like, I don't remember exactly, but, you know, a lot of it is just like, well, you know, expect more from yourself. And so something of that nature. And so I do. I mean, I expect to go out here. I mean, I knew after practice that we had the best car, but that didn't mean anything. In Texas, I thought we had the best car in practice, and I wrecked it. So I just think that he always just – I don't know if he thinks that, like, some weeks I'm more motivated than others, but I'm really not. I always want to win every weekend. This year in particular, I focus as much as I can on each given racetrack. But he's always there to just check up on me to make sure, see where my head's at, to make sure that I'm still as motivated as ever to go out there and capture the big prize.
We'll go to Pat, then Kathy.
Pat DeCola, NASCAR.com. Does this season have a different feel to it? Like, does it feel special?
It feels different than last year, for sure. I think that this is very similar to 2010 in the sense of the car speed that we've had this season. There's similarities for sure, but it is very different. I think that this is a tighter knit group of guys. I think Chris takes a lot of pride in assembling this group of guys from top to bottom. I know, we kind of did an introduction with everyone at JGR maybe in January, something like that. And we sat around here and Chris talked about, here's what we're going to do. I just want you to see that this is the guy this is the team that's going to take us all the way. And, of course, he's very good at motivation, and you say, all right, well, let's see how the season goes. And you win the first race and you set sail. But he really worked hard to make sure he had the best people possible working on that car from top to bottom. And like I said, when we had pit crew struggles, he says, no, there's more in these guys. I'm going to get it out of them. And he has.
Thanks. We'll go in the back to Kathy and then the gentleman in the white hat.
Kathy Brown, pitting outside the box. Denny, when you look at the three drivers that you're competing against for a championship, they've been with their crew chiefs for quite a while, the combination. You're going into this with Chris and looking at it through a fresh set of eyes. Do you think that that could be used to your advantage, or do you see it as an advantage since you're going through it for the first time?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I know that there's no question when I get to the track on Friday and strap in and go run my first laps of practice that he has left no stone unturned. He has done the research. He's worked as hard as he could coming up with a setup that he feels is correct, and I'm content with that. And if we're terrible, we're going to be terrible together, and we're going to go out there and we're going to finish fourth. But I'm confident that he gives me everything – in the tank, and that's all I can ask for. So as a driver, you really enjoy working with someone that works as hard as he does. I mean, there's no set hours in our relationship. The texts come through whenever we think of it. If it's past midnight and I think of something, I send it to him right away. Sometimes he answers at 6 a.m. when he gets up, but definitely we have just an open communication that is really working well. And I think that will give us an opportunity because, if I was coming back to a racetrack where, hey, we did this last year and we didn't succeed, you will definitely have thoughts in your mind of, well, we shouldn't do that because remember when it didn't really work last year and we went down that path. So I think having a fresh start, a fresh set of eyes definitely could be good for me.
We'll stay over here to the left, and we'll come up front to Bob and Nate and Jeff.
Brock Beard, LastCar.info. You made a lot of mention of the 2010 season when you had the dominant car here at Phoenix, ran out of fuel, and then you struggled at Homestead. On a personal level, what have you done to change that? What have you changed, really, to come back and win this race today? And then looking ahead, what you're changing for your strategy at Homestead?
Certainly. I don't think we definitely weren't as dominant then as what we were today, but we still was leading in a very key moment of the race. Jimmy was struggling. If you want to go as they run, like I was going to have to finish 25th or something at Homestead. It was going to be a pretty, nice, easy cakewalk, and nothing's a cakewalk, but you would think 25th is the way we were running that year. But running out of gas was very unexpected. That's why I kind of took it as bad as I did because it really was caught me off guard. There was just nothing that indicated we were even close It's running out of gas, but we did. And, you know, I just didn't know how to take it. I mean, I just, like I said, I didn't prepare for the what if it doesn't work out. I was only going there thinking, well, that's what I'm going to go come here, handle business, and go to Homestead and get the trophy. But I think over the years, you know, we're almost 10 years later, you know, I'm just more content with what I've accomplished in the series, and I don't need validation of a championship. I think that, you know, outside world feels like I need that to validate my status, whatever it is, but doesn't change who I am. It doesn't change how I treat people or how I work. I'm going to work as if I don't win this year, I'm going to work really hard in 2020. So there's many, many, many more opportunities I feel like ahead of me. This is not my last opportunity to win a championship. And especially if the relationship that I've built with Chris, I see this going a long way.
We'll come up front to Bob, then Nate, and Jeff.
Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. Is there anything that you're not going to do this week that maybe you've done in preparation for championship weeks? And I know you're also a guy who seems to have some of an entourage. Do you expect a big entourage still next Sunday?
Definitely. Definitely. We're going to have fun, no doubt. It's my birthday weekend. Homestead's always the birthday weekend. So I wanted to have two reasons to celebrate, not just one. But in 2010, I shut everyone out. Like, I didn't do any of the birthday stuff. I didn't hang out with anyone. I really didn't want to. I didn't respond to calls or texts or anything like that. But I'm not going to be that way. I don't think this time around, because I just am not going to change who I am. I mean, if I want to go out for a late dinner, I'm going to go out for a late dinner. It's what I do every single week. And we won 6 races and had pretty good success. So it's not going to make me run any better if I go to bed and lock myself in the hotel room at 8 o'clock. I guarantee that, because it didn't in 2010. So I'm going to enjoy the moment. Because all you can ask for when you started the year was an opportunity for a chance to compete for a championship, and we have a chance to compete, and that's it's goal accomplished. Now we just got to go out there and do it.
We'll go to Nate, then Jeff.
No, I think that was. No, that was a different year. That's 2012. That was Lil Wayne, by the way. Lil Weezy. Well, I remember the day before the race saying, "No, guys, I can't do anything. I need to get a good night's rest and this, that, and the other." I went to bed way earlier than what I should have. And really just overthought it. I mean, I'm not going to overthink it this time. I'm just going to do my thing and have fun and enjoy the moment. We are definitely on house money right now. So let's enjoy it.
We'll go to Nate, then Jeff.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. Denny, on your in-car camera, when the final caution came out, you slammed your wheel, and I couldn't help but think, I'm sure others did, that was the image here in 2010 of you slamming your wheel coming back to the pits after finishing 14th with the carburetor and running out of gas. So I guess, one, did it ever cross your mind for a brief moment, oh my God, here we go 9 years ago again? And two, is today redemptive for that day? Because now I would think when people ask you about Phoenix, they're not going to ask about 2010 anymore. Now they're going to ask about probably today.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. Certainly. I mean, I've answered so many questions about that day and the role that it played in the finish of the 2010 season. Yeah, I mean, It definitely didn't make me feel well that the caution, because you got to think, like, I don't even know who hit the wall, or I didn't see anyone with damage or anything like that. But obviously, if there was something on the track, I'm sure it was, legit. But from my standpoint, I was just thinking, gosh, guys, like, everyone knows what's at stake. Just keep your car on the racetrack. Let's let this thing play out. But I mean, This has been the finish of many races, right? Late race cautions, and you got to go out there and you got to earn it. That's there's a little part of me that now that it's done and we won, makes it better that not only, you know, we didn't just win by 10 seconds. We faced adversity. We went out there and we pitted and we made a call, right, wrong, or indifferent. It was different than the rest of the cars that I was battling with, and we held them off and still won. So I think that, you know, it makes it a little bit sweeter when you have a result like that.
We'll go to Jeff and then finish up with Dominic.
I'm just still curious about, you know, this kind of off the track mentality that you have fun during the weekend, because you did this weekend and it was a high pressure weekend, but you go to like Post Malone concert, you're hanging out in this house with all your buddies and their friends and all
playing
that stuff.
Tennis till 1 in the morning.
There you go. You play tennis till 1 in the morning, but that you come here and
crazy you, guy.
But so how do you do that? I guess, how are you focused or rested up enough when you get here and yet do all that? And you can have it both ways.
That's going to be news to Chris, so I might get a text about that one. I don't know. I mean, we were betting $100 a game, and, I mean, I was kicking their ass. And it felt so good. So I figured, listen, if I can get in Larson's head early, this is the way to do it right here. So, no, but we enjoy hanging out. We like all the same things. And so it's, I can tell you, being around those guys and my group of friends, it takes stress off of me. I don't think about racing nearly as much as I would if I was more isolated. And so I think that it's a way for us to relax. And I think that it's good for all of us, for sure. I mean, a little bit. I was a little tired, for sure. But I knew that, you know, on race days, for whatever reason, my adrenaline gets going. And when my adrenaline gets going, like, I won't be able to go to sleep till, I don't know if I will go to sleep, to be honest. But, like, even though, like, I started the day a little bit tired, like, I just, as soon as I strap in, my adrenaline spikes. And, like, I am no more sleepy time. I'm ready to go.
We're going to finish up with Dominic in the back.
Dominic Aragon with the Racing Experts, ESPN Radio, Albuquerque as well. Just want to get your thoughts on tying 1970 past champion Bobby Isaac on the all-time wins list at 37 wins.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's incredible when you win. You know, I'm kind of in that number now where there's always someone really, really significant that, you know, we tie with each win. And so I just I believe that I shouldn't be mentioned with any of the people that I'm tied or near with and wins. It's just I don't know. I think I'm just super fortunate, to be honest with you. Those guys I've watched, not necessarily Bobby, but you know, a few wins ago, 3 or 4 wins ago, it was like Dale Jarrett tied with him, and I was like, well, I mean, I watched Dale Jarrett, and like he's significantly better than I ever was. So I don't know. I just think that it's really cool to hear that, but it's hard for me to kind of put in perspective that you're in that same realm.
Denny, congratulations on the win today. Congratulations on the championship four berth, and we'll see you Thursday in Miami.
All right, thanks.
Hey, folks, just as for a heads up, the president and general manager of TRD is available here in the media center. If you would like to speak to him to discuss the manufacturer's championship that Toyota clinched today in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Also, post-race inspection in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series garage is complete. No issues. One lug nut not safe and secure on the 2 and the 53.